For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the Chairshot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, April 4th, 2024. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com. I am one of your hosts, the man with the award-winning and holy beard DJ. I'm going to go around the room and introduce this interesting cast of characters we've got on this show here tonight. I'm going to start off because he's tired, and we're going to talk about this in a minute. I'm going to start off with the host of the Rob the Genius Podcast. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, and the man with the golden shovel, Mr. Rob. How are you, buddy?
Okay. Yeah.
Take it off, pal.
I'll tell you guys why I'm laughing in just a minute, because I also, without further ado, last but never least, the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, hailing from the Purple Haze and Cloud 9, he is Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how are you?
Ladies and gentlemen, I am wonderful on this, the 1,312th day of the reign of our tribal chief as Universal Champion. Long may he reign, and happy WrestleMania, everybody.
Absolutely. We finally made it after months and months of side road, side quest, bumps in the road, and more twists than an M. Night Shyamalan movie. WrestleMania weekend is upon us. Actually, it's night one is today as this podcast drops. We are going to break down not only night one and night two of WrestleMania, give our predictions. We are going to be talking NXT Stand and Deliver, but this may go down as being one of the more interesting episodes of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, because at least two-thirds of this cast is cooked right now. One, we're starting a little bit late. We usually start around 7 to 7.30. It is getting close to 8.30. One, I went on and did trivia with the boys on DWI. If you want to check that out on the Chairshot Radio Network, you can watch me fail miserably. But before that, I spent most of the day with my daughter. We did some running around, then we went to the go-kart track and spent most of the day on go-karts. I'm sunburnt. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm barely making it through this episode. Then I kick it over to Rob because we're running just a little bit later than normal because I put the call up and Jason and I were hanging out shooting the shit. And I was talking about Welcome to Rockville and, you know, looking at the lineup and the schedule and everything. And Rob's not coming on. Usually Rob's on pretty quick. And I looked at Jason. I'm like, I bet the couch got him. And lo and behold, Robert.
Yeah.
What happened, man?
I was asleep.
I was. Couch put him in the old coquina clutch and it was all over.
Yeah. And I wasn't all the way under, but because if that happened, you didn't come over here to wake me up.
I would have been like R-Truth with Jinder Mahal with the 24/7 title when Jinder's sleeping on the plane and R-Truth just kind of leans over him and the ref counts the three.
Yep. So
Rob's tired. I'm cooked. Jason's probably baked. If not, he's probably getting there. So this is going to be an interesting Mindless Wrestling Podcast episode. Let's get right into it here. Jason has the card for NXT Stand and Deliver. I got to say, just out of the gate, I'm excited for this card. There's a lot of good matches on here.
Yeah, it turned out to be like an awesome, awesome show, and I think it's going to be a graduation party for a lot of folks.
Did you see the gate on that thing? They sold over 13,000 tickets for that show.
Good for them.
Like, this is like black and gold territory now with these guys, and I couldn't be more excited for them.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and because what do I want to say? Oh yeah, well, because for them to do this, and then again for it not to be a bunch of, you know, indie wrestlers who are almost our age.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really good. So.
All right. Well, yeah. Jason, Rob, you got anything else?
Rob, I got a little warm up for Rob.
Uh-oh.
We are going to go, because since Rob, above DJ, burying the lead, Rob and I are going to WrestleMania. And Rob will be getting there tomorrow night, right, Rob?
Yes, because I'm going to the Supercard of Honor.
There you go. So, Rob, I'm going to give you every match, and you're just give me a winner in 5 seconds.
Yes.
All right. So, starting off with the tournament final for the inaugural Ring of Honor Women's World Television Championship, we have Queen Amina Aminata. Am I saying that correctly?
I think so, yes.
Queen Aminata versus Billy Starks. Rob, go.
Okay, so Billy Starks has been in this thing with Athena for, like, she was like Athena's main, like, minion. And for like last year. And so
you're burning time, buddy.
Yes, yes. Billy Starks is going to win because Queen Amidala is too late. Too young. Right. Too new.
All right, cool. Next up.
Queen Amidala.
Oh, jeez. So this is off to a great start. Ring of Honor World. World Television Championship singles match. Kyle Fletcher, the champion, versus Lee Johnson.
Kyle Fletcher, yes.
All right. And we have a fight without honor. Johnny TV, John Morrison, yes, versus Dalton Castle.
I got to go with Dalton Castle. He's a Ring of Honor veteran.
Yeah. All right. We have Mel Sierra and Empress Nexus Venus
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes. Tim Tanaka versus Queen's Quest at the Startup Showdown.
Queen's Quest has Queen in the name. Why not?
All right. Undisputed Kingdom, Matt Taven and Mike Bennett versus the Infantry, Charlie Bravo and Captain Sean Dean for the Ring of Honor World Championship, or Tag Team Championship.
Undisputed Kingdom.
There you go. Athena versus Sheeta versus the Ring of Honor Women's Championship.
Athena.
Maybe Tony will put her on TV one day. Eddie Kingston, the current champion, Ring of Honor World Champion, versus Mark Briscoe for the World Championship.
Mark Briscoe. This is the sentimental, you know, match.
You got this story to the 1 yard line, Tony. It should have been on your fucking TV a lot more, but you got it to the 1 yard line. Tell the story we all want to see. It's a cartoon, goddammit, but you know what? It's going to be cathartic for a lot of people, so let's go. DJ, do you want to just go right into Stand and Deliver?
Yeah, let's go right into it.
All right, so we're going to try to just do predictions and keep it quick, gentlemen. First up on the pre-show, we have Sean Spears versus Joe Gacy. Joe Gacy's been eating a lot of L's, but I think he's been fine with them, so Sean Spears, obviously. DJ?
Yeah, I think Sean Spears. I think Gacy is slowly morphing into a character that can take all these L's and still recover from it.
Rob?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Sean Spears, yes.
All right, so this is in a weird order, but you know what? I'm just going to go with it. We had Ilya Dragunov defending his title versus Tony D'Angelo, NXT Championship. I think this is going, maybe not Dragunov's graduation party. He probably sticks around NXT for a little while longer, but this is Tony's moment. Rob? Dragunov and Tony.
Okay.
D'Angelo for the NXT title.
dragging off because Tony was going to win to be the main event, I think.
No, I don't know if this is in any order, so I'm pulling it off Wikipedia.
Okay, I think we'll Trick and Mello are main eventing.
Trick and Mello are main eventing. They established that.
So, okay. DJ.
Well, this is a tough one. I'm going to go with Tony D. I'm going to go with the Don.
All right. Next up, we got a triple threat match for the NXT North American Championship. We have Obafemi versus Dijak versus Josh Briggs. Fuck it, Dijak's gonna win because fuck you, and I get to live dreams and have a really cool moment this weekend. But seriously, I think Briggs is in there to eat the pin. Like, I'm dead serious. I think Briggs is in there so Dijak can pin him. Because they have some other plan for Oba. This was just like, all right, put the title on the guy. Let's give him a main a showcase at, you know, the Stand and Deliver, but whatever, because this guy's going to be here for a while. He did just get here, guys. So we got a lot of way to go with Obafemi. Rob?
Oba, yeah.
You think Oba's going to win? All right. DJ.
I'm going to side with you, Jason. I'm pulling for Dijak. I think he's put in a lot of good work lately. I think he's due his flowers. I think they have plans for Obafemi beyond that North American Championship. And I think 2024 is going to be his year.
I hope so, man. Yeah, because Briggs kind of got added to this late. And so I don't know. I'm pulling for that. That'll be a theme for some of my events of my predictions. It's like this, there's a reason this is going on.
Interestingly enough, just a quick side quest here, Josh Briggs has slowly become one of my favorite things on NXT TV. Like, that guy's sneaky good.
He's always been, like, sneaky good and, like, a little more – not a super athlete or anything like that, but just jumps a little higher and reacts a little quicker than he should for his size. He's not, like, one of the – like a Keith Lee or those guys that we gush about for big guys.
No, but he's just sneaky good.
Yeah, sneaky good's probably a great way to put it. Next up, we got Valkyria defending her championship against Roxanne Perez. I think that this is Rox's moment, you know, the end. Rob?
Yeah, I think Roxanne wins.
DJ?
Roxanne Perez.
All right, next up, we got a tag team championship match. The Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin, the Devil Dogs, or whatever they're calling themselves, are defending their titles against Axiom and Nathan Frazier. I could see this going either way because it just depends on if Bron Breakker's going up soon, which I think he is. So, yeah, the titles can be on Axiom and Nathan Frazier for a while. Rob?
It's hard for me to picture them losing to Axiom and Frazier. I mean, it's hard for me to picture losing to them, so I just don't see it.
All right. DJ?
Axiom and Frazier. I fully think they've already established that Bron Breakker is a SmackDown superstar. That dude's going up after WrestleMania.
Yeah. All right. And next up, before the main event, we have the six-woman tag team match with Thea Hale, Fallon Henley, and Kalani Jordan versus JC Jane, Kiana James, and Izzy Dame. I think, you know, Fallon and Kehlani are going to pull it out because, you know, the good guys are going to win this one. DJ?
I have a question mark here with Thea Hale. They teased for months a Thea Hale heel turn. They started to do it, and then they pulled it back. Why? Was it just not working, or is there a swerve coming? I'm going with the other team. I think Thea Hale is the loose cannon here. I think she turns on somebody.
All right. Rob?
I think good guys win. I think they didn't do it because it's one of those things where it's like maybe you start doing it, but then you're like, wait a minute, what are we doing here?
I think she's just too much fun as a baby face. I'm still calling for sure.
That I would tell you, it unless they're like, honestly, we need to get you reps as a heel or something, it's fixing what ain't broke. Let her keep doing what she's doing as a baby face. Maybe tweak it a little bit, change her direction. But
she's incredible, killing it, man. She's killing it.
And then, I mean, who's she supposed to be a menace towards if she's a heel? I mean,
yeah, exactly. All right. So last up, we have the main event. I mean, this one seems to be a foregone conclusion too. You know, storytelling would tell you that it's a foregone conclusion. I will fly in the face of that later tonight. But Trick Williams is going to win this and send his best buddy Carmelo up to SmackDown with a bang. Rob.
Trick win. Yeah.
DJ.
Yeah, I think Trick wins this one. Is this a gimmick match at all, or is it a straight wrestling match?
So far, it's a singles match.
Okay, just a straight wrestling match. Yeah, this is Trick's night.
All right, so next up, we are Rob and I have our table reserved at a local watering hole that is showing. They were doing a sound check tonight to make sure that all the sound would be perfect for WrestleMania Night 1. That's where we'll be. And we are watching WrestleMania Night 1, and again, I don't think this card is in any particular order aside from the main event. So, first off, we have Rhea Ripley defending her Women's World Championship against Becky Lynch. I look for this to be a exclamation point on a historic and crazy dominant run by Rhea Ripley, the leader of Judgment Day. DJ.
Boy, this one's a tough one. I'm a big Becky Lynch fan, but I love Rhea Ripley. Like, I am all on board for her. I want her to win. I don't necessarily think Becky gains anything by winning this, but this is WWE and stuff like that happens on the regular. This pains me, but I'm going Becky Lynch on this one.
All right, Rob, what do you think?
Boo the orange hair lady. She's going to lose. Boo.
All right, Rob, thank you.
Triple H is going to book his dream woman to win every time he possibly can, Rhea Ripley.
There you go. All right, so next up we have the WWE Intercontinental Championship being contested between the champion Gunther in his historic if we passed 800 days at this point, reign, and longest reigning Intercontinental Champion, I might add, and versus the challenger, Sami Zayn. This one could literally go either way. We're not doing anything anymore with him as Intercontinental Champion. It's time to move up, Bubba. So yeah. I think this is it, and this is a thank you, Sami, for being awesome. And Rob.
Actually, you just convinced me because, like you said, there is nothing to do with Gunther at this point. There's nothing left to do with him. I mentioned this before. This would be a good time for them to borrow from TNA and use the option C thing that they have in TNA where the secondary champion can demand a title match with the world champion, but they got to give up their title. That would be a perfect way to get the belt off of Gunther without him having to lose anybody if you're concerned about him losing to somebody.
I don't know if they want to establish that as a gimmick, though.
Well, no, but I'm just saying if they, this would be a good time to have it.
DJ, sorry.
I'm going against the grain here. I think Gunther retains. I think Gunther is going to hold on to the Intercontinental Championship until SummerSlam. Because when we say, okay, there's nothing left for him to do as the IC champ, there's also, when you look at the top of the card right now and all the pieces that are in play, there's absolutely nowhere for Gunther to fit in right there, right now. We have a whole summer of things that are going to happen before we reset the board at SummerSlam. I think he retains.
All right. That's fair. I mean, Roman's going to need a challenger, but, I guess. Next up, we have the six-pack ladder match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship. We have the Judgment Day defending their titles against DIY, The Awesome Truth, The New Day, A-Town Down Under, and New Catch Republic. Please, God, gentlemen, I don't think we need to go very long on this. I think I speak for all of us. When somebody's going to scoot their ass up and get one of those titles, somebody's going to scoot their ass up and get another set of those titles, and those titles are going to kiss, and they are never going to be seen again until their respective champions fight each other at Survivor Series. Rob, what do you have?
Okay, Awesome Truth, red, grab the red ones, and A-Town Down Under, grab the blue ones.
If I need a official prediction, we've all said – R-Truth is going to go up there, get one set of belts, probably the red set of belts. And then I'll throw in DIY. We'll get the other belts because, goddamn it, I want to be happy. DJ.
I'm right in line with you. I think Awesome Truth takes home the Raw belts and DIY takes the SmackDown belts. I think DIY is custom built for a SmackDown show.
Excellent. Next up, we have the blood feud of the bloodline. Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso in a straight up singles match right now. No bloodline combat, no bloodline rules, no nothing. So we have just a straight up singles match between Jimmy and Jey Uso, the match that they have booked in their heads since they were 6 years old. It doesn't really matter who wins, although the storytelling would tell you Jay's going to win this one. I am in line with the storytelling again. And, you know, good guys win. That's it. DJ?
Jimmy Uso.
Oh.
Jimmy is due a win.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. All right, Rob.
Yeah, actually, I think I'm going to go with Jimmy.
All right. By some sort of crooked outside interference or just crooked.
But the third brother does not have a match, and that's all I'm going to say.
So.
That's all I'm going to say.
Solo was there for something, yeah.
And does Rikishi come out?
No.
No, we don't think Rikishi politics his way into WrestleMania this year.
I think just because I want to laugh. And, you know, just like that's so funny that they didn't make the call. But no, gun to my head though, he probably shows up at the end and they like hug or something, no matter who wins.
Yeah.
So yeah, gun to my head. I'll say he finally gets the call. All right. So did we all do predictions for them?
Yep.
Okay, all right, good. And then we have the six-woman tag match. We have, I'll tell you, it's going to be Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi absolutely beating the brakes off of Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane.
Yes.
Because that's what we're here for. We're here to re-showcase Naomi. We're here to showcase Jade Cargill, and we're here to, you know, and again, storytelling would tell you damage control is going to take a lot of L's on WrestleMania weekend. Storytelling would tell you that's what's going to happen. So I think that's what is going to happen. The good guys win this and we showcase the new girls. Rob.
Yeah, I mean, this might be the most obvious one of the whole weekend. I mean, you know, yeah, so yes.
Jade Cargill is not losing her WrestleMania debut.
No.
Kairi Sane can eat that pin and keep on trucking.
Yeah. And I hope that Jade Cargill goes out there and makes so many people eat crow. Like, I am rooting for her like it's nobody's business at this point.
She's going to lawn dart, again, sorry to keep picking on her, but or Dakota Kai. She's going to lawn dart Dakota Kai into the balcony.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're
going to... Like a goddamn paper airplane.
Look, I mean, I think it's gonna. Yeah, I mean, she's gonna come in there and she's gonna do a few spots and look impressive.
Oh, she'll get a hot tag that we'll go gaga for.
And look, they're not gonna have her in there, you know, 10 minutes taking the heat from the heels. Okay.
No, I think Naomi will be the one taking the heat in this one.
Yeah, I mean, they're not gonna do that now. All right.
Yeah. How cool is that? How cool is that trio, though?
Oh, but also, that pose of all three of them pointing at the WrestleMania sign.
Incredible. So iconic.
Forget about it.
Right.
that's a lot of woman. Holy Moses. I love wrestling. Anyway, going on, we have a tag team match. We have the Latino World Order, which is Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee, versus Santos Escobar and Dirty Dom Mysterio. Again, storytelling would tell you the good guys are going to win this one, and that's what I'm going with. DJ?
I'm going with Dirty Dom and Santos.
Yeah.
Ray's not beating his kid 2 years in a row, man.
Okay, fair enough.
He's got two illegitimate, well, he's got one legitimate and another illegitimate kid that are he's going to have to watch. As long as Ray brings out the belt, I don't care who wins.
Yes, I think Santos and Dom win this one.
All right. So last up, we have the main event of the evening, the tag team match to decide the fate of the night two main event. So we have the Bloodline, The Rock, and Roman, the undisputed Universal Champion Roman Reigns competing in a tag team match against Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins, the World Heavyweight Champion. If Rhodes and the Rollins win, all members of the Bloodline are going to be barred from ringside during the night two main event. If the Rock and Roman win, it will be held, the night two main event will be held under Bloodline rules, which we found out on Monday is just no DQ. So it all depends here, kind of how you want to go night two, but I think we're going to get a little bit of both. We're going to get, this is tough. Cause I mean, at this point, yeah, you have to pull the curtain back and figure out what they're going to do night two, right?
Yeah.
Like they go hand in hand. If Roman Reigns pins Cody Rhodes night one, I will bring a bottle of champagne with me into the arena night two to pop when Roman wins again. So. But at the same time, doesn't that lend itself to the believability of, okay, you know, what's it called? If finally Roman's not going to have people interfere, finally it's going to be fair, finally Cody's going to win, right? Well, who knows? So what I want to get to is this. As they showed us, as particularly, I'll tell you, Cody showed us, Bloodline rules just means it's no DQ because Cody came to the ring and started getting in the match, and granted the match never officially ended, but there was no disqualification either. So it wasn't Bloodline rules, we get to do whatever we want and you guys don't. They have now established that in the fiction. So, the storytelling would tell you that we're getting to this portals, a moment that we've been talking about on the show. You know, where everybody who's ever had a problem with the Bloodline gets involved in this thing. Kevin Owens on back and on forwards. So a lot of explanation to get here, but I think that we're going to get Rock and Roman are going to win this match. Because I just can't see, I can't see a world where one of them gets pinned. And B, I think it's just to establish that night two is going to be banana land, from both sides. So, DJ, what do you got here?
Yeah, you have to gimmick up that main event for night two. So it makes perfectly logical sense that Roman and The Rock are winning night one so that they can establish the Bloodline rules into the main event going into night two. Yeah, it's absolutely a scenario that I see happening.
Rob?
Yeah, I think a Roman Rock win because you got to stack the deck as much as possible for night two.
All right, so then we go into night two, and Seth Rollins will have another match defending his World Heavyweight Championship against Drew McIntyre. And I've been on this train for a while. I think this is where finally Damian realizes that, you know, I have a bunch of people on my side. This guy doesn't have anybody. And Drew is going to win and finally get his moment. And his moment is going to get ruined by Damian Priest cashing in and successfully winning. And it's going to drive Drew even more insane. And I can't wait for that. So that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, and I'm also going to go even more bold on this prediction. I think Seth Rollins gets squashed. I think Rollins gets injured night one, quote unquote, and comes out and gets absolutely squashed by Drew McIntyre. And if we're going to get a cash in, that's going to be the moment.
Oh, so he gets his squash in front of a live audience too.
Yep.
Just do that. Wouldn't it be awesome if they did, what was it, three, 3 claymores and we were out of there for him and Brock?
Yeah.
Did they even like lock up or anything, or did we just do claymore, we're out of here? I don't even remember. But it would be funny because the match was very short. It'd be funny to do it beat for beat. Just literally give him the do over and give him his flowers and then crush his dreams. Rob.
Okay. So I think Damian tries to cash in. He's unsuccessful because they're doing the Judgment Day tension thing. So they can't all win stuff. Mm-hmm. Like somebody in the group has to fail, you know, to further that. And there's nothing really to get out of Dom losing, you know. So the guy, you know, the guy is the people to come home empty handed got to be Priest and Balor. So, I think either he doesn't do it at all, or he tries and fails. Either way, well, the only thing I think is for sure is that Seth Rollins is not walking out of there as champion.
All right, fair enough. So next, excuse me, next up we got Io Sky defending her WWE Women's Championship against Bayley. And once again, since the story of Damage Control has started and we watched it progress, and we've watched Bayley actually regret some of the stuff she's done and actually grow as a character, we're going to get Bayley's WrestleMania moment. And I think storytelling would tell you that we are going to get it. And storytelling is correct in this respect. Rob.
Yes, this is actually like her third WrestleMania moment, but she's going to get it. I think this is another one pretty obvious. And look, the other girls with Damage Control will try to run in and they will be warded off by the ladies who beat them in night one. And, you know, Bayley will get her victory.
Excellent. DJ?
Yeah, this is absolutely a situation where you play it straight. Bayley has been an unsung MVP since the COVID era. Her turn as a heel was incredible. Her feud with Michael Cole, all the work she's done, everything she's done, she's legitimized Damage Control, taking two girls who were released, you know, one that was released and another one that was on the fence as to whether or not she was even going to re-sign a contract. And she brought those girls in, made them something, made Damage Control. Like, she deserves her flowers, and I think Bayley gets it on night two.
Excellent. So, next up, we've got LA Knight and versus AJ Styles in a straight up grudge match. Just a good old singles match. I don't like you. You don't like me. I'm breaking into your house. We're trying to kill each other. Good old fashioned. This is some Attitude Era-ish, and I love it. And I look for AJ Styles to win because once again, Roman Reigns is going to need opponents, fresh new opponents to spice this thing up. And I think AJ Styles with the new bad attitude, but not quite. I don't think he's fully metamorphosized into the next iteration of this bad guy, AJ Styles. And I think his beatdown of LA Knight is going to be that. Rob.
I'm going with him. I'm going with AJ. I'm partial towards him. He's one of my favorites. I'm partial towards him picking him.
All right, DJ.
I'm going to call a non-finish here. Because this is, as you alluded to, this is an I hate your face wrestling match. And I have a feeling these guys are either going to wrestle to a double disqualification or a double count out.
Now, if I was booking the show, I would absolutely book a non-finish because there's no reason to end this after one match.
No, this can, you can carry this feud on for a while. This is a good feud. Like, this is a lot of fun. There's no reason why you can't milk this for more than one match.
I mean, this is something you should take, you know, to a conclusion with like some type of no DQ or
gimmick match or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're going to need big feuds. Cause again, as we get past WrestleMania, you get into the WrestleMania doldrums. This is a match that you can have carry into that to keep people interested.
Yeah.
So, next up, we've got a triple threat match for the WWE United States Championship. We've got Logan Paul defending his title against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. I think Kevin Owens is getting the title off of Logan Paul, and Randy Orton is here to do something crazy to Logan Paul. DJ.
I like that. I like that scenario. And I think Kevin Owens is due a significant championship run. Like Kevin Owens has had a couple of championships aside from the NXT one. I would argue that even his tag team championship run was a bit lackluster. I think Kevin Owens is due a dominant championship run. And why not with the U.S. title?
I would tell you this country is under a lot of stress and this country is under a lot of upheaval. And I think no one else could lead us into the future better than the face of America, Kevin Owens.
I like it.
Anybody remember that gimmick?
Vaguely.
Oh, when he was the United States champion the first time, they had a Titantron of him, and it was when the ramp was a huge Titantron. I can't remember
this. Yeah, he shaved the beard. He got all clean shaved.
And he would walk around the graphic of his head so he didn't step on his own face. he did the tie clip gimmick that you love so much, DJ.
Yep.
That's awesome. All right, so next up, we have a six-man tag team matchup. Philadelphia Street Fight. Rob, do you want to talk about the United States title?
Logan Paul escapes. Randy and Kevin cancel each other out.
All right.
You almost skipped over Robert. He's not that fight. He's working up now.
I didn't wake up for nothing, sir.
The batter's out of hibernation, sir.
Let's be real. I didn't almost skip over Rob. I did.
Y'all sent me.
Well, it's a good thing you keep your phone on you. So next up, we've got the Pride, which is Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford with B-Fab, against the Final Testament, which is Karrion Kross, Akam and Razar with Scarlett and Paul Ellering. So, I think this is going to be more fun than everybody thinks it's going to be. It's going to be violent. It's going to be relatively quick in the landscape of WrestleMania matches. And the entrances, I bet, are going to be awesome. So I'm excited to be here live for that, just because the entrances are going to be bonkers no matter what happens with the match and no matter what. They can't make me care about the Final Testament, man. I'm trying, but nope, not working for me. DJ?
I look for 8 to 10 minutes of Haas fight. Just absolute chaos. I look to have a lot of fun. This is my last try with Karrion Kross. I'm pulling for Final Testament to win this in hopes that I finally see him materialize into the professional wrestler / gimmick that I've been told he can be. I like the guy. I've really been trying to stick with him, but I've yet to see what so many people have told me he can be. I hope I see that this weekend.
I know he's cycled through like four, but that dude needs a new finisher. That bull elbow or whatever is just not
that not the F5.
No, that's okay. But that thing that he does with the, oh my gosh, what are their names? Akam and Razar, the Authors of Pain, they hold the guy, you know, by both arms and he does the like running, you know, bull hammer to the back of the head, but he never lands it right to make it look like, you know, guys who can do it, make it look. So it just likes your, yeah, I don't know. It looks bad. So stop doing it. That little package F5 that he does, like depending on who he does it to, I see the vision with that thing. Anyway, too long on Karrion Kross. Because last up we have a TBD match. That was deliberate because we spent too much time talking about Karrion Kross at this point. But go ahead, Robert.
Look. Look, if you see me walking past you during this match, it's because I'm going to the bathroom. Okay. Right?
For love for the Pride?
Oh, no. I do love those guys, but I just don't care about this. And it's like,
what
this
do we think of that name, by the way?
Don't say me.
What do we think of that name, by the way? The Pride?
It's not working for me. This match is very much a get them on the card match. And that's not meant to insult anybody, but that's exactly what this is.
Yeah. Like, I might call this the sunk cost match. Okay. Because it's like we put so much into both of these groups, and neither one of them is really working that great. But we've gone too far to just quit.
That's the thing, and we can take us a little side road here for a minute. With the Pride, if you were going to put a group like the Hurt Business back together, just put the Hurt Business back together. Fucking hire back Shelton Benjamin. Cedric Alexander's still on the roster. Just put the original team back together if that's what you wanted.
Right, especially if they're just going to be these mid-card.
The Street Profits didn't need it. The Street Profits were doing just fine.
You see that thing with Bianca, by the way? Some interview or whatever that they were, she was talking about how, when they tried to turn you guys heel.
And
she's like, yeah, that's just not working. It's like, well, we're not going to boo the Street Profits.
Right.
They got to do something dastardly, man. I think the final testament is definitely TBD, but also the Pride is definitely in the category that you're talking about, DJ. These guys wait till SummerSlam starts to form.
I think in both cases, the problem with Pride was that they got together and it's like, okay, but because of the tag team title situation, there was nothing for them to win.
Right. And
when you put the group together, they were getting together to kind of revert, to turn around, turn things around for all three of them. And then they don't win anything. Yeah. And so it's kind of like, okay, well, all right. You guys got together to go back to winning stuff like you used to win stuff, but now you're not winning any stuff. And some of that's not your fault because they decided to, tie up both tag team titles and make them basically a side piece to whoever the big faction of the moment is. And so that's not their fault, but basically at some point you got to win something and they're not, they didn't win nothing. And then they got put in a feud with some guys who just came back after 3-4 years. So they can't be out here losing because they just got back.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So now, not only did you not win anything during your first few months together, and now you got to put these guys over, because they just got here. And it's, I was hoping that I would have rather the Street Profits gotten into the ladder match and they could on the blue tag team belts.
Unfortunately, the Street Profits and Lashley, and to a lesser degree, the Final Testament, they're really suffering from this glut of talent that WWE has.
And also suffering from just the title belt situation, because Lashley should be fighting. He should be in line to fight Roman Reigns. He should have been, but he wasn't.
Cody Rhodes.
Or he should have at least been in line to fight for the U.S. title, but he wasn't. And because, again, they tied up those belts and, the U.S. title thing, they, made tied up into the whole Logan Paul thing, which is obviously the right business move, but it takes it off the board as a thing to fight for people to fight over. And they took the tag team belts off the board as a thing for people to fight over, because by putting it in the, Judgment Day story. So, there's nothing for those guys. There's really nothing. There's been nothing for those guys to get or to achieve to get out. There's been nothing for them to get out of coming together.
Yeah.
And so they've just kind of stuck spinning their wheels that hopefully, once the blue tag team belts have been liberated, they can go get them. That'd be nice,
All right. So last up, we've got the main event of all main events. We have a rematch of the rematch of the WrestleMania main event for WrestleMania 39. We have the undisputed WWE Universal Champion, Roman Reigns, defending his title against the Royal Rumble winner, Cody Rhodes. And we will not bore you guys. We all believe that this will be contested under Bloodline rules. which is going to be Anything Goes. And again, as they have established in the storytelling, Bloodline rules means anything goes for everybody, not just the Bloodline. So, what the big moment? What do you do? Do you finish the story, or are we just in the middle of the book? You know, I don't know. Because this is where the storytelling thing comes in. Storytelling would tell you, if this is a children's show, as we all love to say on this show, Cody Rhodes is going to win. Cody Rhodes is going to beat Roman Reigns. Cody Rhodes is going to win the title that his father never held, and he's going to hold it up, and he's going to cry, and there's going to be a hologram of Dusty on the ramp, and we're all going to shed manly tears, and, you know, we're all going to scream, whoa, and it's going to be a beautiful moment. Sometimes, though, sometimes stories don't end the way they're supposed to. And I think a lot of these stories are going to end the way they're supposed to at WrestleMania, except this one. I think we are in for one last gasp. I can't even tell you what it is. And you could tell me it's going to be anything, and I believe you. Roman Reigns is going to, The Rock is going to turn on Roman Reigns, but it's going to backfire. Sure. CM Punk's going to appear and give a one-armed F5 or GTS to Cody Rhodes, and that's how he maintains. That's how Roman retains. CM Punk literally signs a deal with the devil for all intents and purposes. I don't know what's going to happen in terms of how we're going to get there, but I think we got one more. I've been saying this for a long time. We got one more. He's got one more in him. After this, we're on the clock. But again, and I'll close with the one point that I've been making for a long time, and maybe we're not on the clock quite yet, because we have been driving all summer cross country in Dad's Winnebago. We have been singing 999 bottles of beer on the wall. We are down to like 10 bottles of beer. Hulk Hogan's record, if Roman were to beat it, would be in September. I would tell you that there's a better than even chance that Roman Reigns is still Universal Champion in September, because then you're awfully close to the premiere of Raw on Netflix, and that's when you give away the house. And you say, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes, first main event. You even throw out the stipulation. It's going to be a lumberjack match, or it's going to be a no anyone ringside. It's going to be an empty arena match, you know, blah, blah, blah. We're going to check the doors, and no Bloodline member is going to be allowed in the city. You know, you could just give away the farm, and you'll have a ginormous number for your first Netflix. You have a wonderful moment for Cody, and you get everything done. And then in 200, 300, 400 years from now, and I'm dead serious when I say stuff like that, they can talk about Bruno and Backlund and Reigns. I'm dead serious. That's an instilled thing. We said it for a long time, but, you know, Vince McMahon would not let this company disappear as an entity. It's his father's legacy. It's his legacy. He finally had to step away from it. We got to that point, but he's like, yeah, in order for it to continue, I'm out of here. He wants this thing to go for free 300, 400, 500 years, and I think he's instilled that in Triple H. And I don't want to say Hulk Hogan's name in 200 years. And it's just a thing that you just stamp. Triple H stamps his new era, and it's just too picture perfect in the long-term storytelling. And I mean the longest of terms. I've waxed poetic way too long. Rob, what do you got?
I don't know, because a lot of it just depends on, well, so much, it depends, there's so many different moving pieces here. It'd be kind of weird for like Roman's first big match with the final boss backing him up as champion. It'd be kind of weird for him just to lose. You know, I mean, if, cause I mean, if we're, if it, I mean, if they're going to take this final boss thing out for a spin for a while, it'd be, you know, it's too early to have things backfire because it just started, right? Cause I mean, look, I mean, we all know this eventually, you know, things going to go sideways. Rock and Roman are going to, you know, start beefing with each other. And then, you know, the next year they fight each other, right? I mean, that's kind of what it looks like at least. So if that's what they're going to do, then it's a bit too early for things to go sideways.
Yeah.
Because then you got to, I mean, yeah, because then, I mean, you got a whole year to get through. So it would make more sense for, I mean, the way the pieces have lined up, it, regardless of what people say, it would, because it would make more sense the way things have lined up, you know, this year, for Roman to actually win. Now, if Rock was not involved, if it was just Roman and Cody, you know, with no Rock and no final boss or whatever, then Cody would absolutely win. You would play it straight. Cody would absolutely win. Okay. But you got a new element you've introduced. And again, going a whole year with, Roman doing, I don't know, floundering or, he's not going to take a whole year off, obviously. And I can't imagine him being on TV for 6 months, 8 months or whatever, just kind of floundering because he lost his championship. I just don't see that happening. He's not that type of character and I don't think he and Paul would go for that anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I think, look, when he does lose, I think, now, I mean, again, with The Rock involved here now, I think, you know, when he does lose, it's going to go right to, you know, setting things up for him and Rock for next year. And you can't do that if he loses now. So, and you don't want us in, I mean, you know, and look, you don't want him taking 6 months off either, right? I mean, cause again, he's not, look, folks, I'm sorry. He's not going to be on TV for some extended period of time with no belt. That's just not where he is now in his career. Okay. That's not happening. So, I mean, when he does lose, it's going to be, you know, coordinated with something, but, so assuming, that he and, you know, now for some reason they're going to do him and Rock earlier, maybe like SummerSlam this year. Then you kind of put everything on the fast track, but, I just don't see, like, to me, that stuff it doesn't make sense. Like if you're writing, if I'm writing this, okay, Rock just got here as the final boss. Again, this is the first big moment. Really, with him as final boss,
it kind of kills the final boss mystique if he ends WrestleMania a loser.
Yeah, and it's like
the final boss on the first level.
Yeah, right. And yeah. That's the thing. So, so from that, I mean, but if they've already made a decision, they've already committed that, okay, we're doing Cody now, then, you know, it is what it is. But I just, again, they're just, you know, logic points that don't line up to doing it now. Again, assuming that Rock will be around, you know, next year and all of that. So, it really all just depends. It all hinges on his availability and whether he's going to do this again next year or what. You know, and that's really, I think that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
If his availability is this year and this year only, then Cody wins, and we move on. But you know, if he's going to do it, you know, if he's committed to a longer thing with, you know, leading up to him and Roman, then I think you got to stretch out the breakup point. You know, I think.
Let's not forget, by the way, that Cody is technically on Raw. So once WrestleMania season is over, he has no, you know, viable path for the foreseeable future to Roman Reigns.
Yeah, and, well, which is why if he does lose, if Cody does not win, it will be because, you know, it will be because Seth Rollins screws him over.
Yeah, no, I didn't even get into that,
If Cody loses, that's exactly what's going to happen. It's not going to be because of the bloodline or whatever. It's going to be Seth Rollins screwing him over. And because that adds a twist to things.
We didn't even mention the possibility, by the way, speaking of people messing with people, CM Punk's going to be on commentary for the World Heavyweight Championship match.
He's not cleared to do anything. So I think I think that's another reason why, to go against Priest cashing in, because I think with him on commentary, I think Drew wins and then they have some kind of stare down or something.
Or, you know, Damian could win and Drew's making the boo-boo face and CM Punk could cut a promo in his face.
I don't think they're going to do that because they're clearing the deck for the main event on night two.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
No. I mean, like, you know, that's the end of that. Like Drew lost his title. You're saying that they would want some mystery whether CM Punk's going to get involved in the main event?
No, I'm just saying that if. No, you're talking about Punk cutting a promo on Drew after Drew doesn't win or whatever.
No, I'm saying if Drew does win and then Damian does cash in on him, well, then there you go. Drew's just sitting there as a bystander the entire time. And then when it's all said and done and Damian's dancing around in the ring, you know, we could have Punk, cut a promo and just, look at this idiot. And there you go. You're stoking the fire of that comeback feud.
I guess the only problem is, like, he can't get physical. So, because if he starts taunting Drew, Drew's going to want to claymore him, and you can't do that right now.
Yeah, you can give him a little Irish Glasgow kiss.
They can fake it. I think you don't do that until they can actually fight.
All right, fair enough. DJ, go on about the.
I've got a little bit here. You know, this is one I'm not going to predict a winner here because I can't.
No. First off, absolutely not. You gotta. And Rob, give me a hard and fast. Give me a prediction. I gave you mine. I think we got one more. Roman's got one more in him, and we're going for Hogan.
Well, I'm biased. I root for my people, so. I root for my favorites to win every time, even if it's, so I'm going with Roman.
Yeah. And then you're going to be crying CM Punk guy when Cody wins. DJ, okay. First off, you got to give me a prediction.
All right. The fans are going to win. There's your prediction. Anyway, no. I'll give you a prediction at the end of the thing, but let me cut some things up here for you. I was on board with the Roman Reigns beating Hogan's record. For a while. But the longer we go and the deeper we get into this, why? Like, why does beating Hogan's record mean anything? Because it really doesn't, because it's not the record. Bruno still holds the record, and we're not doing that. So, I mean, are we battling for third place here? Which, to me, sounds kind of stupid now when I think about it. Also, we have to be realistic about Hulk Hogan. We can dislike, and Rob and I talked about this with EJ on the Earnestly Speaking podcast last night when we went down the list of the top 50 WWE superstars of all time. And believe it or not, Hulk Hogan came in at number 10 on that list. And Rob and I both called horseshit on that because we literally are not sitting here doing a podcast without Hulk Hogan. And we can feel how we want to feel about Terry Bollea, and I don't fault anybody for that at all. You know, for the white trash route that he went down as a person, I don't fault anybody for that at all. but the character Hulk Hogan is absolutely forever intertwined with the success of WWE and, quite frankly, what we know as professional wrestling today. I don't think, regardless of how people feel about the man behind the character, I don't think you remove that from history. This isn't like a Chris Benoit situation. I mean, yeah, the guy said some horrible, nasty things, but this isn't a situation where you just delete the guy and erase him from history. He's, unfortunately, you know, the foundation of what we talk about on this show and what we watch, you know, several nights a week. So the longer and deeper we get into this, the less likely I believe that their goal is for Roman Reigns to surpass Hulk Hogan's record.
Jump in real quick. My predictions. Sure. Okay. I don't think it's a thing either, but so my predictions about, you know, points lining up and all of that.
Yeah.
Don't take that into account. And then also, I mean, they're doing business with Hulk again. Hulk is doing appearances. So they're not trying to erase him, folks.
Right.
No, I'm not talking about erasing him. I'm not talking about erasing him. I'm talking about in 2040, you're a little bit closer to those titans that you talk about when you talk about the top three, the top five, the top, you know, obviously we're already there. But I think it's important that, you know, there are certain, like Bruno's record's never going away. I'm sorry. Wilt's 100 points, if it happened, is never going away. We're going to get close, but just as the NBA as currently constituted, it's never going to happen. Same thing with Bruno. It's just never going to happen. But in a sport where you control the record books, literally, you control how your record books look, I think it's a tad more important to have someone who is more recent, and this is more, you know, Roman Reigns being the absolute, you know, phenom that he is helps with this. But this is, again, I go back to my 99 bottles of beer on the wall. Like, you got here because Roman Reigns is a phenom. You got here because he's the greatest of all time. But now you're here. You got to 8 bottles of beer on the wall. Finish the goddamn song. That's where I'm at.
Okay, now the thing is, I think, all right.
It's not erasing Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan was in the 80s, guys. So when you talk about the history and you talk about the grist and the best of the best of the best, it's not really cool to be like, oh, the best of the best, it's Wilt and Michael and Kareem. That's right.
But I'll say he's getting his surpass Hulk Hogan moment by getting these two main events.
Yeah.
He is passing Hulk Hogan on WrestleMania main events this weekend.
Yeah. Officially this weekend, he surpasses Hogan's record.
No. Yeah, whatever. He's not even done with that. That's almost a foregone conclusion. You just had to get him one more. So I don't know. And again, that's not a thing that's contingent on, like, Roman Reigns has got, what, 4 more WrestleManias in him? You could have snuck him one more main event, no matter how you did it. You can't suddenly pick up the clock at 1,000 days.
Correct. Now,
okay, you have to start over with someone new. When are you going to get to the point where you can go 3 goddamn years with someone? Because it's not even going to be Roman Reigns again.
Oh, it'll be another 20 years before we get a run like this. Yeah. We might, Rob and I might not even live to see it.
I'll be here in 20 years.
Well, so do I. Yeah, right. But no, okay. But building on to Rob's point, and this is what's leading me to believe that they're actually not going to do the thing with Cody, is the whole final boss thing. We don't bring The Rock back, have this last 3 months of incredible television for him just to lose. And we're not going to speak, because Rock and Roman Reigns, I will die on this hill, is not a SummerSlam match. That is a WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
And they are not going to go back and forth with either Rock being off TV or Roman being off TV and try to build that match for 12 months. That is something that is going to slow burn until probably the fall before those two finally start to really have tension between the two of them. As a prediction, I expect Roman Reigns to retain.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna quickly put out my have your cake and eat it too answer, because one of the things, well, I've said this theory and I kind of want to flesh it all out from beginning to end. We're in a real sports era, of WWE. They've kind of changed the format of things. They've got the press conferences. They've got the live streams. They've got these things. They've that things. I mean, Jay and Cody with the belts was one of the funniest things and, you know, part of the storytelling. And it would happen at the press conference. Now, in the 24-hour news cycle that we live in, I know we always talk about WrestleMania is the, you know, season finale, and then, but really, it's the Raw after Mania now. So, could Cody even get on the mic that night at the press conference and be like, F this, F the bloodline, F the final boss, whatever, whatever, and before people even get mad, really, really mad, they realize that something's going to happen and we get our, you know, match on Raw the next night where, so we get the moment where we escape and we get everybody to believe that this train is going to keep on going. And then with the magic of storytelling, live storytelling that you can do in this era like no other, you can build the excitement for that WrestleMania Raw as they're calling it now, which is weird because I always like calling it the Raw after Mania, but they're branding everything now. So yeah, that's the one last thing that I think you could do, the have your cake and eat it too, where you could have the aw shucks moment where it's okay to know from the opening bell that the guy's going to win. Cause some of you are going to walk into night two knowing from the opening bell that Cody's going to win. So, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, have your cake and eat it too. You could do the lumberjack match in 2 minutes, have meet three crossroads and boom, we're out of here.
All right. Well, that wrapped it up for our WrestleMania weekend prediction episode. I want to talk to my boys here for a few minutes because they're both going to WrestleMania this weekend. Both will be together for night one, watching it at a bar and grill. That I'm so insanely jealous of you two for that. I wish the stars had lined up so I could be up there with you. Then you guys are going to night two. Insanely jealous about that. Especially knowing what we might get. Like, if they go full-blown shenanigans on night two, you guys are going to be rocking the house. Like, you guys are in for a treat live, and I that's so cool to me that you guys are going to be there for that.
And that's kind of one of the things is, yeah, the crowds are hot for Cody, but I just don't think, I don't think it ends in total boos if Roman wins. I think the crowd's going to be split on the result. I think walking into the match, it's going to be very Cody, but I think we all know where our allegiances lie. But the last thing about that is they're also not afraid for this thing to end in boos, guys, especially if the final boss is supposed to be an ongoing character. They were not afraid to let this thing end in boos when Roman was the good guy and he went. Do you think they're going to be afraid for you people to boo him out of the building when he's been the bad guy for 4 years? No, they'll be like, thank you. Thank you. Finally. My God. Playing
WWE
along. Good job, guys.
Is not afraid to break our hearts. They're really not. Like, and you know, especially Vince, if this was a Vince McMahon call, Roman would win again. Like, I wouldn't even question it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Vince would have him. We're going to next Mania.
Yeah. We'll do this as long as I can stomach it and as long as the money keeps coming in and the gate keeps going up and the ratings keep going up, we're going to ride this until the fucking brakes come off of it.
These t-shirt reports and whatnot that go around, I don't know how accurate they all are and whatnot, but I'll tell you this. They all come from the same place and seem to be relatively consistent in their numbers. So I'll tell you, they're probably at least a good barometer of what's, you know, doing well against what. As for how much they're actually doing, who knows? But again, Cody's not running the roost like he used to, and Roman Reigns, I don't think he's got the number one item anymore. But it's a mishmash of everyone, and Roman and Cody are both up at the top. So It's definitely not the my God, when Cody was first around that first year.
Well, you got to wonder, did they cool him off? Because this is a point that I was going to make in my little monologue. Did they cool Cody off a little bit by him not winning last year? And do they run the risk of cooling him off further if he doesn't win this year? That's the only asterisk to this whole thing with me, is that you're standing on a really narrow razor's edge here with Cody Rhodes. Because if he loses two in a row, you really run the risk of fans being like, okay, we're checking. Ray Cash talked about this on this show several months ago. It's like, he's checked out on the Cody Rhodes story because you told the story for 2 years and then didn't pull the trigger. You know, and here we are, we're in another chapter and we're still not pulling the trigger. Are people going to check out on Cody Rhodes? And is that a risk that you're willing to take on a guy who you've obviously earmarked to be the guy for the next 4 to 6 years?
So I'll tell you this, when it does happen, the moment, it's got to be blatant, middle of the ring, like Seth hits Cody over the top of the skull with a chair and then scoots out of the ring and Roman Spears him and we're out of here. Like,
I think that's the only palatable way this happens, is Seth Rollins turns on Cody Rhodes.
Well, no, it doesn't even have to be Seth Rollins, but it can't be, quick spike by somebody. And no, you have to establish the next part of Cody's storytelling, straight up. So I'm actually going to use a lesson that The Rock taught me. Or did The Rock? No, it was John Cena. Why did I even say The Rock? Talking about how he told that story of, somebody coming to him about the match with him and Brock at SummerSlam. And they're like, hey, we just want Brock to beat the shit out of you. And Brock's like, hey, you okay with that? And John's like, yeah, man. You just beat The Undertaker's streak. Of course you need to come out here looking like a monster. If I come out here doing a 50-50 match with you, then we don't transfer that energy anywhere. That's it. You beat the streak and it's just another thing you did. So I think you have to, while I don't think the crowd is going to revolt, and they're going to boo, but if you transfer that energy somewhere and you can lay the blame solely or at least 80% the feet of whoever, CM Punk, Seth Rollins, Rikishi. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. One quick around the horn and then we'll get out of here. Rob, do you expect any surprises, any returns, any surprise debuts?
Debuts, probably not. Returns, I don't think so. I mean, except maybe in the main event. I mean, because everybody's throwing out a bunch of names, a possibility of running it in the main event. The only name I would, okay. I could see Austin coming in, and it's just also kind of wishful thinking that when everybody starts running in, at night two, that he comes out there and gives the Rock one more stunner and Rock does the crazy oversell, one more time for us. I'm kind of hoping for that. But otherwise, I mean.
Now you think they play it straight this year, huh?
Well, there'll be some, look, there's going to be somebody is going to appear by surprise and we're not going to. But I just don't know who. If everything's blown over with Brock, maybe.
Okay.
There's been no news on that front. And not to go into a big thing about that, but. If the only thing that happened with him is what we've heard, then they're going to wait a while, But if he wants to come back, he will. If the only thing that's happened is the stuff that we've heard, if it was never any further than that, because sorry folks, you don't permanently eliminate somebody
for nasty text messages.
Just put it this way, they're not going to.
Right.
No. And, well, if he was a player on a sports team, they wouldn't release him over that. I mean, you know,
So yeah, we could see a Brock. Who knows?
At some point, but so I guess I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
The Steelers kept Ben Roethlisberger on the on the team for much exactly. much worse.
Yeah. Right. And you see it happen all the time. But so I don't know. I mean, I'm gonna say Austin. And then, but other than that, there's nobody I'm really thinking of. I mean, you know, of course, there's one person I would love to see make a return of some kind. Right. And, you know, obviously she's not going to press.
But I think she might, man.
You never know.
An appearance. I definitely could see an appearance, even if it's a distraction to someone or something like that.
Jason, what about you? Any surprises, any returns, any debuts?
Surprises. I think. See, Rob changed my mind with the whole like burning off the final boss thing, but I think in my head movies, it was very funny. The world where even Steve Austin came back and Roman still wins. Because again, if they do the whole portals thing and, you know, Cody doesn't win with, you know, massive amounts of help and things like that after, you know, that's the biggest complaint about Roman. That would be very funny to me. But yeah, as far as surprises go, I don't know. I can't really call it. I don't think we get any new members of the Bloodline. I don't think we add to that cocktail.
No Zilla Fatu or anything like that?
No Zilla Fatu. Maybe he, you know, Uncle Paul drops him off at NXT on WrestleMania Tuesday.
Yeah.
But that would be very funny.
Look, I got to give him credit for trying to take advantage of this moment to get signed.
absolutely.
They're trying. Well, whatever.
Hey, man, one thing I learned from that that Anoa'i doc, where it almost was an Anoa'i documentary about of Roman, the Anoa'is, they are carnies, my friend.
Yes.
Buddy, no. I have said on this show, kind of tongue-in-cheek, but kind of serious, that family has secretly been running the professional wrestling industry for decades. They have trained more talent.
So. I mean, the first thing Cody Rhodes did when he got to WWE was acknowledge Roman Reigns. Wrestling has more than one royal family. There you go.
Yeah.
And the High King's going to win another one.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I want you both to be safe and have fun this weekend. Hopefully, right now there's some shitty weather in Philly. I hope it clears out before you guys get up there. I know, Rob, you're leaving tomorrow. You're catching a train. Jason, you guys are leaving, what, Saturday?
Yep. Saturday morning, we're driving up.
I want you guys to both have safe travels, have fun, take lots of pictures, keep us updated, because I'm there with you in spirit, man. I really am.
Yep, and we're gonna meet up with people from, you know, the Twitter sphere. Get to meet some of the gremlins that live in my phone. That's very exciting.
That's cool. Very, very cool. All right, before we get out of here, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can browse, look at, peruse, if you will, all the Chairshot Network t-shirts that are available there, including the one for this very podcast, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Pick one up. The starving artist on this show will thank you. Your body will thank you if you pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Let's go around here to my co-host and thank him as I always do, starting with Jason. Sir, have an awesome, awesome WrestleMania weekend.
Roman Reigns is going to win because I deserve this.
You deserve this, pal. The last time when you proposed to your wife, it ended horribly.
Exactly.
WWE owes you. They owe you this weekend, Jason.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I deserve this.
Jason's cashing in a receipt this weekend.
God damn.
And from the Rob the Genius podcast, Rob, have a safe train ride tomorrow.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, let us know when you get there.
I will.
All right. And again, I'm DJ. You've been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network, where we invite you to always use your head. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring. And we are out of here until after WrestleMania.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.